And we're going to get this started this month by focusing on a time of prayer and fasting. So I just invite everybody today on January the 1st, 2023, to engage in an adventure of renewal. Everybody say renewal. With our emphasis being on our 21 days of prayer and fasting. This starts this week, and I want everybody to be encouraged. I want you to be equipped and ready and focused to engage in fasting, how the Lord leads you to fast. Okay, so let's begin. Let's look at what Jesus had to say about this. This is from the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Here's what the Lord said. He's beginning to teach on fasting, and here's what he said on your screen. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But then he's going to focus on me and you. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Notice what the Lord said here. He said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance who do everything that they can to make sure that somebody's observing them do a religious thing with their life. Instead, Jesus says, let your time of fasting be a joyful time. Don't let it be a sad time. Let it be a time of great faith and joy and expectation. Amen, everybody. Amen. And so two things I want you to see here very, very quickly from Jesus. He said this twice in this little paragraph. Jesus said, when you fast. Will y'all say that with me? Come on. When you fast. Notice the Lord didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. In other words, the Lord here is making a priority of fasting. Looking at your screen, for those of you filling in the notes, this is the very first one. Jesus made a priority out of fasting for believers. He wanted us to make sure this was an ongoing part of our discipleship process in our life. Very, very important that we begin to see this. Because I'm going to be challenging everybody today to engage in something that may be foreign to you. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at fasting. Y'all just looked me up and down and said, yeah, no kidding, Pastor. We get that. We understand. I know. I get it. But Jesus made fasting a priority for believers. He said, when you fast. Everybody understand that, guys? Come on. If you get it, say a good amen right there. Amen. One of the great contributors to theology in the modern era is a theologian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I read his book every year. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. This is one of the books that I read every year, and I put this picture up there in case you guys want to kind of take a picture of that. I highly recommend that you pick this book up if you don't have a copy. They usually have this book at Barnes & Noble and Books of Million, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer dealt with this particular scripture. Look what he said about this scripture from what Jesus said. He said, Jesus takes it for granted that his disciples will observe the pious custom of fasting. Strict exercise of self-control is an essential feature of the Christian life. The custom has only one purpose, to make the disciple more ready and cheerful to accomplish those things which God would have done. Thank God. Notice, I love his observation. He said, Jesus just takes it for granted that his disciples are going to observe fasting. And that should challenge us this morning, because I don't know about you, but in all of my years of serving the Lord and even working in ministry and serving the church in ministry, I've yet to master the spiritual discipline of timely fasting in my life. But God's going to do it for me. Amen. Because my mind is getting dedicated to this issue. I'm noticing that Jesus expects me to do it as a believer, not as a pastor, but not as a church leader, but just as a believer. The Lord expects me to engage in this type of behavior, a fasting lifestyle, okay, for the various reasons that I'm going to show you in just a few moments, okay? But I've often found that, man, it's a hard thing for me to do. I don't know a lot of Christians that fast a lot, all right? So it begs the question today, what prevents believers from fasting? Maybe you're thinking about that right now. What prevents you from engaging in spiritual times of prayer and fasting? Well, I've thought about this. I've read about it. I can really only find three huge things, all right? There's fear, ignorance, and just disobedience, okay? These are the things that prevent us from engaging in times of fasting. Okay, fear, I've experienced all three of these, by the way. Maybe you have too. Fear says, I don't think I can do it. Maybe you've tried fasting before and you felt like you were not successful in your fasting, and maybe the enemy works against you in your mind and says, well, you didn't pull it off last time, so you can't do it again. And so you're afraid to kind of get it started again. All right? Fear prevents us. By the way, all three of these just really turn into excuses for why we don't do it. Okay? Fear says, I don't think I can do it. I'm afraid of what might happen. I've even said this. Well, I'm afraid of the physical aspects of fasting. Y'all know that I've got some health things that I manage with my life, and I'm still praying and expecting God to heal me top to bottom. Amen. Okay, but I have used that as an excuse in my life to say, you know what? I'm just afraid to fast because I don't know. I'm afraid of what might happen. Maybe you've been there. Let me tell you this. God stamps out that fear. He wouldn't ask you to do something that's going to harm you. Amen, everybody. And then the second thing that prevents us from fasting is sometimes it's ignorance. Okay? We just don't know. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do it. All right? And so we're always skeptical and kind of shy and slow to engage in things that we don't know about. I don't really know how to fast. Maybe that's what we're saying sometimes. I'm ignorant about it. I don't engage in doing it because, you know what? I've heard all these things about fasting. Somebody told me you're supposed to fast for 3 days, then 10, then 21. Man, somebody even told me that there were people in the Bible that fasted on water for 40 days. And it's true. Some people in the Bible did do that. Okay? And so I don't know. Maybe you heard, well, I heard that God strikes you down if you eat while you're on your fast. No, he doesn't. Amen. Thank God. But I don't know. And then finally, the third reason is just disobedience. We've already established that Jesus expects this to be part of our life, right? And so what does disobedience say? It just says, you know what? I ain't going to do it. Just not going to do it. You know, I know the Lord expects it of me, but maybe we say, you know what? I like my food. I don't like denying my flesh. It's hard. Maybe this is what we say. So we get in kind of a rebellion attitude or a little bit of a disobedience concerning what the Lord says, and we allow fear or ignorance or even just cold, hard disobedience. No. Somebody said they're going to take me out to eat, so I'm going. Y'all hear me today? And y'all aren't saying a good amen right there because you know what I'm talking about. That's good stuff right there. Amen. All right, and so these are reasons that we need the Lord to help us and confront our hearts and help us to understand that if we're going to apply this mandate of the Lord in our life, we've got to deal with these excuses and deal with these reasons why we don't do it. All right? Amen, everybody. Come on. And so let's deal with this. Why should we fast? We know the Lord has commanded this of us. He said, when you do it, okay, here's a special way to do it. So I just, a plethora of reasons why believers should fast, but I just want to stop today and just for a few moments and deal with four little reasons. And what we're going to do here is kind of pull from four Bible stories to give us insight into why we should fast. Come on, are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here we go. Number one reason why we should fast. Fasting centers your focus on God. Fasting centers your focus on God. What an amazing thing. There's an amazing story. You know, sometimes in our lives, you know this from being so busy and have all of the issues of life pulling and tugging at you and trying to beg off your attention all the time. Sometimes you're even going through various battles and temptations and trials in life, and it is so easy to get our eyes off of the Father and onto the things around us. And it is such a temptation at times to focus on problems and focus on issues and even sometimes focus on people rather than focus on the one who made us. But fasting centers our focus on God. I love the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's an amazing story about King Jehoshaphat and the battle that's going on between Israel and the Moabites. And you've probably heard this story before plenty of times, but he sets the standard here of how to establish a fast to get your life, your community, your church, in his situation, your whole country, back focused on God. Man, they're going at it. And the enemy is having its way with them. They're getting waxed, all right? And Israel is really, really struggling. And they're being defeated hand over fist. And so the king does something very, very unique in 2 Chronicles 20. He issues a statewide fast and prayer. He just tells everybody, you know what? Pull back from battle. We've got to pray. We're getting beat. We're not focused on God anymore. It's time to recenter our lives and recenter our focus on God. And so they prayed. They declared a great fast and they prayed. And the Bible says that God answered them. But this is the amazing prayer that he prayed. Look at this and look what happens. He prays this in 20 and 12. Our God, oh our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Now watch this. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Come on, somebody. I want you to see that today. I want you to see how fasting centers our focus on God. I don't know if you've realized this in life. If you've lived and served any amount of time, you need to learn this now. When you get your focus off of God and onto everything else in life, things get tougher, they go downhill, they get worse. But when you turn things over to God and you refocus and begin to look at him again and trust him again, guess what will happen? He'll begin to turn it around for you. Aren't you glad about that, church? His prayer here was the simplest of prayers. I love this. He just said it this way. I don't know what to do. Do you know that sometimes that's the greatest prayer of faith that you can possibly pray? Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know where my help's coming. Can y'all receive it today? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. This fasting period of the next few weeks, I'm hoping that you can do that. All of us can get our eyes off of the world and off of issues and problems that are trying to drag with us into the new year. Let me tell you right now, why don't you just leave those issues back there, turn your eyes toward the Lord, trust him again, and watch what he'll do all year long on your behalf. Amen. I don't know what to do. Thank God. Number two, fasting positions your life for victories. Fasting positions your life for victory. Everybody say victory. Come on. Sometimes, and y'all have been there, sometimes in this life, you guys have been there, I've been there. Man, we're serving the Lord. Trust in God. Unified with our church and our families, we feel like we're on the right path, doing the right thing, but for some reason, every step you take or everything that you say just seems like God is not blessing it and you don't know what to do. It just seems like you're out of position. And this is exactly what happened in the book of Judges in this particular story. Again, Judah is going against the Benjamites, and y'all know this story as well. It's an amazing thing. Judah's going against the Benjamites, and they're loving God. They're loving him, and they're serving him and believing him. But for some reason, every move that they make, they're getting another defeat. It's like one step forward, two steps back. And so here's what they did. I want you to see this. They called a fast. Look what happened. Judges 20 and 26 says, then all the children of Israel, that is all the people. Everybody say all the people. I love the emphasis there because notice he emphasized that everybody was so unified in this fast. All the people went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat before the Lord and look how long they had to fast. They fasted that day until evening. All they were required to fast in this moment was one day. Okay? That tells us something about the Father this morning. It tells us that, you know what, sometimes he's not looking to press you into religious issues and matters, and he's not testing your endurance. He just wants you to turn your heart toward him, okay? Sometimes I think we miss it in fasting because we think that fasting becomes a test of our endurance. Well, I'm going to pull up short. I'm going to go on a 21-day fast, but you know what? I'm going to pull up short and eat on my third day and feel like a failure for the next 17 days. No, listen, that's not what God intends. In this moment right here, all they needed was to get in alignment with the Lord by fasting. His requirement was just one day. Just make sure that your life is there in line with the Lord. And look what happened. The Lord said this. By the way, they were wondering what to do. They were standing before a hill. They got whipped on that hill. They got whipped on that hill. They got whipped over here in that plain. But they're looking at Mount Mizpah. And they're praying, Lord, I'm afraid to go up there because we're going to get whipped up there too. We got to fast and pray. And sometimes in your life, church, that's what you got to do. You don't know about your next move or your next idea, your next decision until you align your heart and align your mind's eye in with God through a fast. In this moment, it was just one day and God answered. And the Lord said, go on up that mountain, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Thank God. Fasting can position your life for victory. Praise God. It's an amazing thing. I can think of so many issues in my life, so many times in my life when I wished I would have fasted and prayed before I made the decision. Am I by myself or y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, I wish I would have fasted and prayed. Thank God. Because I didn't. I did what I thought was right, and then all of a sudden, it was the wrong thing. And you have to fast and pray and realign your life with the things of God. Amen, everybody. Come on. There's two more real quick, and I love these. Number three, if you're filling out your little sheet, fasting strengthens your prayers. It strengthens your prayers. How many of you have ever had a prayer going on in your life? It just seemed like God was not hearing your prayers. Y'all ever been that before? Man, it just seems like my prayer is stopping right there at that ceiling. It just seems like God's not hearing. My prayers aren't very powerful. Let me tell you this right here. Fasting will strengthen your prayers. And sometimes in this life, you're praying over things and believing God for things when the Lord is requiring a stronger, different prayer from your life. Understand this. Jesus demonstrated this. Okay? Don't go there yet, guys. I want to tell the story first. It's in Matthew 17. Y'all know this story. It's an amazing little boy, precious little boy. And he's got these problems in his life. He's got epilepsy. Please get me on this point, guys. It's going to help some of you. This little boy's got epilepsy. Not only that, he's being harassed by demons. And the father of the little boy comes to the disciples and tells them, well, I've got these problems and these issues. Please help my little boy. He's flinging himself into the fire. He's hurting himself. He's sick. I'm afraid he's going to die. And the disciples prayed for him and nothing happened. The disciples had been praying for people and performing miracles in the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden they come upon this serious issue. And all of a sudden they couldn't do it. And they went to Jesus, and I love this part of the story. They went to Jesus, and they said, Lord, I brought my boy to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. And Jesus said one of my favorite lines in all the Bible. He said, he looked at the man, and he said, bring the boy to me. Whew. Bring the boy to me. And the Bible says that Jesus prayed for him, and all of a sudden he was healed, and the devils left him alone, and the boy went on to live. Praise God. A little bit later, though, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, we don't understand. We prayed for him as well, but, you know, why couldn't our prayers do anything? When we prayed, nothing happened. They didn't understand something. They didn't understand that sometimes you got to fast and pray to get more powerful prayers. Here's what Jesus said. He explained it to him. He said, here's why your prayers were not effective. First thing he said, because of your unbelief. If you only had the belief, the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain and say, mountain, move over there. That mountain would move, thank God. But Jesus explained to them, because of your unbelief. All right? There's two things here I want you to see. Sometimes we're praying general prayers that are just intercessory prayers. We just kind of pray for people in general. Lord, bless Susie. God, bless little Johnny. Lord, heal that person with that cold and bless them, Lord. And we're saying prayers for people. But watch this. Sometimes in life, you're going to face things that challenge your belief. You're going to face a big issue. You're going to be challenged by something that challenges your belief. Jesus said your prayers weren't effective because of your disbelief. Well, listen, epilepsy and demon possession, you're dealing with something right there. And that little boy, it's not going to take more than just a simple, casual, intercessory prayer. It's going to take some digging in. How many realize sometimes it takes some digging in? Sometimes it takes an effectual, fervent prayer to let God know you mean business, that you really trust him, that you know that he's going to move in that situation. And sometimes you're going to face things in this life that challenge your belief in what God can do. I've been there. You've been there too. Come on, somebody. I've been there. And I can tell you right now, if you'll continue to believe and trust God for the majestic, the supernatural, the wonderful, the unexplainable, God will do it. Do it in His name and pray and believe and do not doubt, and God will move on your behalf. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But then he backed up and he explained it to him further. He said, well, I realize y'all believe, but here, this kind, he said, look at your screen. He said, this kind, this kind, he says, only goes out, Matthew 17, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, the Lord is saying here, you're going to encounter some things in life where your prayer is not going to get answered until you fast and pray. That's a realization that we don't like, because it challenges the level of spiritual disciplines that we live in. Let me pastor everybody for just a moment, guys. Trust me on this one and hear me. We don't like to be challenged. We think that every time we say the name of Jesus, God is supposed to hop. But here's the thing. Sometimes God has got a requirement on our life to build ourselves up, build our faith up, build our belief up. Sometimes we need to touch Him, return to Him, and get back to Him through fasting and prayer. It lets Him know that we trust Him and need Him so badly. Hear me now. Why don't we like that, Pastor Brandon? Why is it so hard? It's so hard, guys, because we've made our relationship with Him about religion rather than love. Hear me now. But Lord, I'm doing all the religious stuff that I thought you required. I'm at church. I'm giving in my tithes and offerings. I'm serving. I'm doing all the stuff. And God is saying to us sometimes, you know what? It's not about the stuff that you're doing. It's about how you're walking with me every day. See, don't you think for 5 seconds in the new year, guys, listen, there's going to be a lot of people strolling into church over the next couple of weeks that have their mind made up that they're going to be all about this New Year's resolution, and they're going to do all religion so much better. I'm going to go to church when the doors are open. I'm going to lift my hands and worship. Woo. I'm going to give in the offerings the right way. I'm going to find a place to, I'm going to do all this stuff, and you know what's going to happen is this. I'll get there in a minute. Y'all understand this, guys? This is why we're engaging in fasting. It's not about your religion. It's not about your religious obligations and duties, man. This thing is about God reaching out to you and calling you closer to Him. And church, hear me out right now. He says, you know what? If you'll just draw closer unto me, I'll flood your life with the kind of power that can drive sickness out of somebody's life, that can drive devils out of your home, that can get the enemy's hands off your business, off your church, off your kids. Number four, this is where I kind of want to land for a few moments today. Let me wrap this audio up. Fasting renews your relationship with God. It renews your relationship with God. Thank God. You know, this is why I called this message, Join Me in Adventure and Renewal. Because over the next few weeks, this is exactly what happens. Physically as well as spiritually. God will flush your system. I equate this experience with foot washing a lot, because I've been asked this over the years. Why in the world did Jesus emphasize foot washing? I don't know if y'all realize this, but in the Church of God denomination, we have the Lord's Supper. Okay, we have water baptism. And we have a third ceremony of the church, foot washing. Did y'all realize this? Well, you didn't know it because we never do it, but we should do it. Here's the thing about foot washing, what God does. Yes, it allows us to serve and be served, but what it does is you can be clean everywhere else. But because you're walking every day, your feet are still dirty. All right? And when the Lord washes your feet, when we wash one another's feet, we're getting completely clean. This is very similar to what God does in fasting in our life. He's giving us a renewal, a completeness, a consecration unto Him all over again. It's a matter of the heart this morning. Everybody say, my heart. Come on. He just wants your heart today. So all he really wants is your heart. I want you to see this, guys, in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And I'm almost done. This is the crux of what's taking place. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. Can I pause right there? Guys, that right there, all your heart. Everybody say, all my heart. Come on. You know that in this new year, the breakthroughs that you're going to get, the answers that are going to come, the provision that God is going to make in your life is not going to come because of better performance of religion and Christianity. It's going to become because you stop withholding aspects of your heart from him and you give him all your heart. But Pastor, some of my heart is with my boyfriend and my girlfriend. Some of my heart is with my burdens and my worries. Some of my heart is with my own personal desires. My heart is spread out all over the place. Well, that's what I'm talking about. This is why we're doing this. Because God is not asking for a piece of our heart. He's asking for a turning toward him with all your heart. All. Well, Pastor, if I give him all my heart, what about everything else in my life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all else, all these things, he'll add it to you. He'll just add it to you. It's one of the major breakthroughs that we're going to get this year in our first fruits giving campaign. So many, this is a huge test of faith. So many people withhold that aspect of their heart because they've placed their heart in that area of finances. They think, this is the thing that I can control. The truth of the matter is, you don't have any control over it. You don't even understand blessings and provision yet until you give him your whole heart in that area as well. What about my bills? What about my stuff? What about the things that I want? What about my kids? You give and you sow toward the things of God. You demonstrate your whole heart in that thing through stewardship, and he's going to take care of your kids. He's going to take care of your bills. He's going to take care of your blessings. He's going to... Come on. Joel 2, we're going to wrap things up. He said, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And he's going to get to the rubber meeting the road here. Look at 13. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Praise God. That word rend just means to tear. Tear your heart. Let God break your heart right now. See, this is so good because in old, ancient Middle Eastern religions and in Judaism, the tearing of the garments, tearing the clothes was an outward expression of a religious duty. You're going through something, you wanted to tear the clothes, let everybody know you're praying, fasting, mourning over something. And God here is saying, you know what? That's what I started to say a few moments ago. You're going to get a breakthrough. It's not going to be because you mastered the tearing of the garments, letting people know that you're doing your religion better this year than you've ever done it before. That's not what it's all about. No, God's calling us to rend our hearts, man. Give him your whole heart, not just half. I want to show you a painting today. Rend your heart, not your garments. This is my favorite painting. Take a good look at this, guys. This is called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's by Rembrandt. Rembrandt painted this in 1669. I love this painting because we're looking at an image of a heart rendering. This is Rembrandt's translation of The Return of the Prodigal Son. I want you to notice a couple of things about him because the perfect posture for repentance, perfect posture for returning to the Father in our desperation is depicted in this painting. You'll notice a few things. The first thing I always notice, by the way, this is also a wonderful book. by Henry Nguyen. I read this book last year. It changed my life and got me through a real tough season. But the first thing I always notice is the feet. Take a look at the feet. Notice the prodigal's feet. He's returning to the father, shattered and broken. One foot broken, one shoe broken off, one barefoot. I always love the desperation here. And this is exactly what God's calling us to do. Come to him. The other thing I like to notice is you can't see it maybe from your seat, but the expression on the face of the prodigal is painted in a way where you see that he's so contrite and so humble. And the last thing I always notice is the hands of the Father. Look at the hands of the Father. In Rembrandt's commentary of his painting, he mentioned, he was asked plenty of times, he mentioned why the two types of hands. You'll see a soft-looking hand and a big, rough-looking hand. And he said, because the Father is strong and powerful, but he's also nurturing and loving. Praise God. Praise God. Well, y'all see that, guys? That an amazing thing? Rend your heart, not your garments. Above all else, guys, the Father is concerned with your heart. Can y'all receive that today, guys? Are you ready to give him your whole heart this month? I'm challenged. I'm excited. I'm motivated. But I'm believing God to do wonderful works in your life, in your family, and in our church together in the name of Jesus today. Come on, have y'all been edified by this service today? Let's give him praise right now, everybody. Amen, amen. Will you guys do this with me for just a moment? Will you please stand with me all over the house?